verse 12. And they said, there is no hope. I want you to all hear that right now. And they said, be careful of the they-sayers. Amen. They're well too close to the naysayers. Amen. Amen. They said, there is no hope. But there's a danger. But we will walk after our own devices. And we will, every man or every one, do the imagination of his evil heart. I am going to preach from a very simple title this morning. I didn't get some real fancy, cute little saying. I simply am going to lay it out this way. No hope. No hope. Jesus, you know exactly what you want to say here today. Lord, you know, Lord, who is here and what they need. I myself am nothing but a man. But Lord, I submit myself to you. And I ask, Lord, that you will help me to preach your word. God, to say what I need to say what you've spoken to my heart to say, to be able to communicate this in the right manner, the way it needs to be said. And God, I pray today that someone would walk away. No hope. Throughout history, it has been the inaction of those who could have acted, the indifference of those who should have known better, the silence of the voice of justice when it mattered most, that has made it possible for evil to triumph. But I have come here today not to blame us and not to make us feel unworthy. I have not come here to make us feel bad, because I believe that God wants me to help someone today who is struggling with the weight of life and the burdens that come with it. Someone here today wants to break free of the chains that have you bound, but you don't see any way out. I have come here today to uplift that one who sees their situation as hopeless, to the one who feels there is no hope. And I've come here to say today that God wants to tell you there is hope. Amen. Hallelujah. It was Jesus standing in the synagogue who spoke these words ever so clearly when he spoke in Luke chapter 4 and 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Let me tell you today, if there is a message that needs to be preached, it is this message, that there is hope through the power of Jesus Christ. It was Isaiah, who the prophet, who told us why he would come, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace, of our peace, was upon him, and with his stripes, amen, we are healed. I'm here to tell us today that the reason sometimes we don't break free is not because we want to stay there. No, it's not because we enjoy where we're at. The reason we stay there many times is because we are overwhelmed by either what we need to do or the seemingly insurmountable odds that we're up against. And it's here that we stay bound. I look at who I am, and I look at what needs done, and I look at what God wants for my life, and it's so easy to become overwhelmed because I don't know how I'm going to get there, and I don't know how this is going to happen, and I've made this mistake, and I've made that mistake, and I've done this, and I've done that, and I don't know how it's going to all happen. And instead of moving towards God, I can't find a lawyer smart enough to fix my problems. I can't find a psychiatric doctor smart enough to help me. No, there's not a counselor out there to provide those needs for me. There's not a doctor that can fix it. I don't care who the president is. He ain't good enough to fix my problems. It doesn't matter who he is. It doesn't matter what president is getting ready to come into office. I don't even care. He can't do it. I can't find a mechanic that's good enough. Brother Greg, I thought about you. If there's a guy who I think can fix anything that ever is broken, it's him. But let me tell you, there's some things we can't fix. I don't care how much I know to do, and I don't care how much I know how to do. There are some things that I cannot do. There are some things that are beyond the human realm of our ability to be able to conquer them, to be able to fix them, to be able to help them. And so it is there that we become bound, because we look to every way that we can to fix it. And everywhere we look, we recognize, I can't get it fixed. And so while we're there, the devil looks at us, and he laughs at us, and he scorns us, and he makes fun of us, and he says, see, you're bound. See, you're trapped. See, you'll never make it. See, you'll never be good enough. See, you'll always live like that. You might as well accept it. I have come here to tell you, you don't have to accept defeat. You don't have to be conquered and held bound and kept captive. The reason I don't break free is because I look around me and it just seems too big. How could a little church on 34, 35, 44 Verner Road ever affect not just one city, but two cities, and not just one county, but two counties? How in the world could this little group of people do that? I don't know. It's not within my realm of reasoning. It's beyond my realm of being able to figure out. But I understand this. I have a God who in heaven.
Hallelujah. Amen.
It was through the prophet Jeremiah that God was trying to warn a nation living in sin. Sounds very familiar, like today. That judgment was about to come. He was trying to let them know they needed to change. They needed to be transformed. They needed to be remade into something new. The fact was that God wanted to deliver them. God wanted to set them free from the captivity that was binding them. From this great army who had surrounded them, who had the nation under siege, who was starving them out, who was holding them captive, who wasn't going to let them go until they completely conquered them. God was trying to let a nation know that you can be set free. I'm telling you the same thing that Jeremiah said. You can be set free. You don't have to be held in bondage. And so it was here that he spoke to Jeremiah and said, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay, I meant to bring it and forgot. Joey just made a little pottery thing of clay. He was at my mom's over the weekend, and he made this clay thing that was supposed to be a pot. Turned out to be more like a bowl, but it's pretty cool. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. In other words, here's the potter. He's working on this clay, and he is trying to fix it, and he's trying to make it beautiful, and he takes a look at it, and it's got a problem. He takes a look at it, and it's got a mark. He takes a look at it, it's not perfect. It's got some issues. It's got some struggles. It's got some flaws. It's marred. And I want you to notice, so he made it again, another vessel. He took that pottery. He took that piece of clay, and he reshaped it. He remade it. He made it again as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came unto me and said, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? He tells this nation, can't I do the same thing with you as I've done to this piece of pottery? Can I make you again? Can I mold you again? Can I shape you again? Can I do it again? How many of you understand today that you're in the hand of an almighty God who wants to make something beautiful of your life? It doesn't matter your mistakes. It doesn't matter the problems that you've had. It doesn't matter the situations that you're in. As long as you stay in the hand of the potter, everything's going to be okay. As long as you keep in the hand of the potter and you let him work on you. Look, I can't fix you.
I'm a man. I'm not smart enough. I'm not intelligent enough. But I know a God in heaven who can fix it, who can make it right, who can do it again. He can take that which is marred and make it all again. But I want you to see the response of this nation. And they said, there is no hope. It's over. It's through. We're done. There's no help. There's no way out. We'll never make it through. We'll never be able to overcome. We'll never be able to make it happen. And they're backing up, and they're backing up, and they're backing up. And it'll never be right, and it'll never be the way it was again. And things will be worse, and things will never get right. And this world's coming to an end, and there's nothing we can do about it. And so many people are lost, and oh well, we might as well give up. And my situation is so hopeless, and I can't do anymore until we become wrapped in and bound up and trapped behind the wall of unbelief that tells you you're gonna be stuck there forever. But I'm trying to get somebody's attention today that is a lie from the devil. That is a lie from the enemy himself, because Jesus said, I have come to loose the captives. They said, there's no hope. And because of the defeatist mentality, and because of the pessimistic view, this is the way it is. This is the way it always will be. So we might as well just make the best of it. We might as well just live unto our own devices. We might as well just do our own things. We might as well just go according to our imaginations. You can read the text. We might as well just do it our own way. There's no hope. Why trust God? There's no hope. Why follow God? There's no hope. Why serve Him? There's no hope. Why live for Him? And the devil keeps wrapping it one strand at a time, and one strand at a time, until before long you can't move because you're frozen. I wish I could tell you today that things were different for this nation, but I can't. This is a picture of what happens when we lose hope. This is a picture of what happens when we settle for, this is the way it's just got to be, and this is just the way it's going to be, and this is just how it has been, and this is how it always will be, and I can't accept anything more, and I can't do anything about it, and I have no hope. You want to know the history of what happened here? Nebuchadnezzar took them. He destroys the city. He completely decimates it. He completely levels it. Why? Because they had no hope. There was a man of God standing before them, telling them, look, you can change. Look, it can be different. Look, there's a way out. I'm so glad the scriptures give us another example later on. I'm so thankful for the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, we know a story of two sons. And one of them said, give me what's mine, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to just do things my own way. Just give me my stuff. And in Luke chapter 15, we see this story. And now in verse 13, it says, and not many days after the young man gathered all together,
He took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He wasted it. I could point you out to something. The Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That word lack there does not mean lack as in they didn't have enough. That word lack there means they wasted what they had. We that know God, we that serve God, we that love God have a responsibility to use the things of God in the right manner and in the right way. We aren't to waste the things of God. And here we see a young man who had it all. Everything was before him. He was going to be a wealthy young man. He was going to be in a place, in a position of power. He was going to be in a good place in his life. But he decided to do it his own way. And we know the Bible says that he wasted it. He took this substance and he went his own way. And as so often happens, it never ends with just us spending it. But what always seems to happen when we are not in the right place spiritually, the Bible says that he wasted it and then there was a famine that arose in the land. There's always a famine that comes to play. There's always a famine that will come when we choose to walk away from God. There is always a dry place, an empty place, a worthless place that we will find ourselves in while God is trying to get our attention. So, to a Jew, he does exactly what a good Jew would never do. He finds himself in the middle of a pig pen. In the middle of a bunch of pigs. Now, you know that Jews, they did not eat pig. That was unclean to them. That was an unclean animal. And here he is, not eating a pig, but eating right beside a pig and eating what they were eating. You know you've reached the bottom there. He's sitting there in the mire and in the muck and in the mud and the junk. And he's sitting there in this mess eating the stuff that they were eating. And he comes to the end of his road. But unlike the nation of Israel, unlike this nation who said there is no hope, this young man remembered something. This young man, the Bible says, came to himself. Something snapped. Something clicked. Something added up. And he said, wait a minute. This situation is hopeless. But if I can just make it to my father, if I can just get back to him, I will be better off. Something changed here. Something happened here. He said, I will arise. I'll go to my father. And will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I've messed up. There's nothing wrong with repentance. Repentance is what is needed. Repentance is what we do. And the Father doesn't hold the guilt over us when we've repented. No. I want you to know this Father said, no, I'm not just going to make you a servant. I'm going to restore you back to sonship. I'm bringing you right back as a son like you never left. I'm putting my ring on your hand. I'm putting my sandals on your feet. I'm clothing you with my robe. Why? Because a young man came to himself and said, wait a minute. Yes, this life is hopeless. Yes, this world is hopeless. Yes, everything around me is hopeless. But if I can just get back, if I can just make it, you know the story? See, it was afar off. He hadn't even arrived yet. He hadn't even made it yet. All he needed was make that step towards in the right direction. As soon as he made the step, here comes the Father. As soon as he makes the step, here he comes running. Why? Because he'd been waiting. So what is hope? So what is hope? They said, there is no hope. Hope is the feeling that what is wanted can be had. Hope is the feeling that what is wanted can be had. A feeling of desire for something and confidence in the possibility of its fulfillment. You know, I think it might just happen. It's not the totality. It's the feeling that it possibly might happen. I'm not 100% sure of everything that's going to take place, but I'm hoping. It's the possibility. And as long as there is a possibility, oh, it seems bad. Oh, it seems terrible. Oh, the walls seem to have me surrounded. And everything seems to be gone. And I don't know what's going to take place. And I'm locked behind. And I'm held captive. And I'm held bound. But let me tell you what hope is. Hope is the possibility that there's a way out of this. It's the possibility that I can get through this. It's the possibility. Hope is a person or thing in which expectations are centered. In other words, John is my hope. No. You know what the Bible says? You ready? Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Here's what I know. It doesn't matter how bad it is. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter how trapped I may seem. Thou, O Lord, are my hope. You are my only possibility. I look around. Nothing else can fix it. Nothing else can do it. Nothing else can change it. Nothing else can pull me out. Nothing else can make me. Nothing else can help me. There is one who gives hope. There is one who brings hope. There is only one, and he is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be getting done here in a minute. Ephesians 2 verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Let me tell you, when you're without Christ, the possibilities are gone. Amen. Having no hope and without God in the world. But everybody say, but now. I'm just glad the scriptures changed things a little bit. He doesn't leave us without hope. He says, but now. Uh-oh. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar. Is it making sense? There was the young man, and he was still a long way off. But the Father looked down that road, and he saw him. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were without hope. Who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Oh, he seems so far away. It seems the odds seem insurmountable. I'm preaching here this morning. It just seems like it's so far away. It just seems like I'll never be able to get there. It just seems like this has got me so backed up that I don't see how I'll ever get to the place God wants me to be. Well, quit trying to do it on your own. Quit trying to fix it. Quit trying to look to yourself. You are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. Watch 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to the abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I'm wrapping in, I'm coming in. You notice this, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. You know what begotten there means? To procreate, to make again, to be born again. Which by his abundant mercy hath given us the ability to be born again. But when I'm born the second time, you see, the first time David tells it like this, I was born in sin and I was shapen in iniquity. But the second time I'm born not of flesh and blood, but I'm born of the Spirit of God. I'm born by the death, the burial, and the resurrection, by repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And you have mercy because he said, I'm going to begot you again. I'm going to allow you to be born again. But watch this second birth. This second birth changes completely because the first time I'm born without hope. But the second time I'm born again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The word lively, simply living. Living. You ready? It can't die. Because hope, the Lord is my hope. The last time I checked, they tried to kill him, but they couldn't. The last time I checked, they tried to destroy him, but they couldn't. They crucified him. They placed him in a tomb. They covered it up with the biggest rock they could find. And they said, see, you try to get out of this. And here comes Jesus rolling away the stone, saying, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I have come to bring you living hope. If your hope seems lost, if your hope seems gone, if your situation seems hopeless, let me tell you what you need to do. Just tap into the living hope. Just tap into the living hope. I said, just tap into the living hope. Let me tell you, you can be made again. You don't have to stay. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. If you weren't here last week, I would encourage you to go online or to ask them for the CD and get the Sunday morning message where I preached about a breakthrough. Let me tell you, I'm walking in the right same lines here today. God is trying to tell us something. God is trying to tell us something. We can be made again. You don't have to stay where you are. I don't care what you've been facing. I don't care what's had you bound. I don't care what's held you captive. I don't care how hopeless the situation seems. In Christ, you have a living hope. In Him, you have a hope that no man can take away, no man can kill, no man can destroy. The only one that can get rid of it is me. When I choose to ignore the God that's calling me. And so this morning I open these altars to that one who says, you know what? I'm not going to be bound anymore. I'm not going to be held captive anymore. I'm tired of being overwhelmed. I'm tired of looking at everything around me and thinking there's no chance of it ever changing. I'm tired of looking at the insurmountable odds. And saying, well, this is the way it'll be. This is the way it's got to be. I might as well just accept it and live with it. Why live? Why live a good life when you can have a great life? The lie of the enemy is to accept where you are. Is to accept that this is the way it's going to have to stay. Because I've made this mistake and I've done this wrong. And I've done this here and I've walked away and I've done this. And maybe I haven't physically walked away, but my heart's moved away. And I feel cold and I feel empty. And I guess this is just the way it's got to be. My prayer life's going to be empty. My time with God's going to be empty. The Bible's just going to be confusing and none of it's going to make sense. And I'm just going to struggle and maybe somehow God might just let me in. And so I'll just accept this is the way it is. I stand here today. Tell you don't have to accept that. I stand here today to tell you I'm a man that has a testimony that you don't have to. You don't have to stay that way. I know what it's like to struggle with complacency. I know what it's like to struggle with sin. I know what it's like to live a life that I'm not proud of and settle with the fact that this is just how it's going to be. Oh, and I'll cry a tear here and I'll cry a tear there and something may seem to change here and but it always reverts back and something may feel good on Sunday but Monday everything seems the same. And I can stand here and tell you I know what that's like. I know what it's like to live that way. But I also know what it's like when I determined in my life that it was no longer gonna be that way again. That it was going to change. That I was going to be different. That I wasn't gonna be the same man that I always was. I wasn't gonna be the same husband and the same father and the same pastor and the same preacher. I wasn't gonna be the same. I was gonna step into a new life. Walk.
And I know what he's done. Oh, you may not see it. Maybe some of you have. But I know what he's done for me. I know what it's like to go to bed and not feel guilt, and not feel shame, and not feel torment. Oh, I'm no better than anybody else. Don't get me wrong. It's not because of me. Those who are in my class this morning, understand, I said, it's not because of me. If it wasn't for the Spirit of God that changed me and continues to help me, if someone needs to come. There's people here already. They want change. They want God to pull them out. They want God to fix something. And I'm telling you, he will. Well, let's come. Let's touch God. Let's touch God this morning. Let him deal with your heart again. Let him deal fresh with you. Let him move on your situation. Jesus. 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 I need you. I need you. I need you. From where I'm standing, the walls are surrounding me. From where I'm standing, life is circling in on me. From where I'm standing, the burdens are becoming overwhelming. From where I'm standing, everything seems to be lost, and there seems to be no hope from where I'm standing. But Jesus, I'm asking that you help me, because you are my only hope.